Well, hello. Welcome to my first installment of My Principal, Reading and Talking About Books. This is Mrs. Johnson. As a classroom teacher, this was one of my absolute favorite things to do in the classroom is to read a book, to share one that I liked, to talk about it with other people, and then just to get the opportunity to really think about what I was reading. Some of my favorite books are books that I've reread multiple times to students. I have about five of my favorite books that I like to read because the author did such a good job of making me appreciate the story that I love to share it with other people and get their reactions about it. And so some of the books that I'll be sharing with you are those books. And one book in particular is the book that I'm going to be reading with you today. It's called Kenny and the Dragon. It's by Tony DiTerlizzi, and he's also the author of the Spiderwick Chronicles, so if you've ever heard of those. I think they even made the Spiderwick Chronicles into a show on TV. But I enjoy this book, and one of the reasons why I love this book so much is because of the characters. And one of the things that he does in this book is he makes the characters different than what you expect. When you think of a dragon, you think of certain characteristics and certain things that are true about dragons. And from reading books like Dragons Like Tacos or other stories with dragons in them that are kind of evil, and like in Sleeping Beauty, they have the dragon that's the queen. In this book, there is a dragon in it, and he is one of my favorite characters because he just doesn't seem to be what in my head I have imagined for a dragon. And so I'm going to be reading this book to you, but I just wanted to talk about one of the reasons why I love to talk about books and why I wanted to do this is because I miss doing this with kids and talking to them about books and sharing what we think that would be fun and exciting things to read next. This book does a good job of reminding us of what good readers do, and that is that good readers read a variety of texts, but they also, good readers know about themselves as readers. And I want you to think just for a few moments about what kind of reader are you? Are you a reader that likes to read authors? So if you like David Shannon, do you read all of the David Shannon books? Or if you like Dave Pilkey, do you read all of the Dave Pilkey books? Because if one Dave Pilkey book is good, well, then the rest of the Dave Pilkey books are good. Or do you like to read certain genres of stories? Do you like to read fantasy stories or stories with humor in them? Or do you like to read stories that have a little bit of drama in them? Are you the kind of reader that has to find a cozy little spot to sit to be able to read? Are you a reader that likes suggestions from people and will try any book? Are you the type of reader that can sit a whole day and read a book and try to finish it because the book is so good? I can tell you that multiple times when I was younger, after I figured out how reading went and after I figured out how to connect everything in my head to this movie that was going on in my head, books came alive for me. It wasn't always easy to read for me, and I had to figure out some tricks to be able to help me. But once I did, I can remember multiple Saturdays where I would be sitting in my room and my mom and dad would be wondering, where is Mrs. Johnson? Where is she? And I would be in my room with my dog, and I would be reading and trying to finish my book. And sometimes I would get to the part where I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, but I have to keep reading. Or I'd get to a part and think, okay, I can stop here, and then I can pick it up again tomorrow. That's the kind of reader that I became, and I still am that way. Sometimes I can drive my whole family nuts because I want to talk about books. Sometimes I have maybe four or five books that are stacked next to my bed of books that I want to read, books that I'm reading, books that people suggested. It's one of my favorite things to do in the summer, but When I was teaching in the classroom, it was a fun way for me to be able to read some of those stories that I had come across that I wanted to share with others. Take just a moment. I want you to think, are any of the adults in your life, do they have books that they like to read? Or are they part of a book club? If they're a part of a book club, which I'm a part of a book club, when you're in a book club, you read, then you discuss, and then you read some more. You set a plan, like everybody's going to come in together and we're going to talk. You connect different things that are happening in your book with things that are happening in the world or with other books. You predict things that might happen. Sometimes when you're in book clubs, you even just share your feelings of what the book meant to you or what a character, how a character influenced you or made you feel. And so when readers read in a book club, they're going to do what we're doing right now. And we're going to pretend we're in a book club. And we're going to take the text that I'm reading and we're just going to talk about it. You're going to hear me talking about it, but I would love to hear from you and hear what you have to say about the book. But this book is called Kenny and the Dragon. You don't have to have a copy of the book. You can just follow along with me if you'd like. Or you can keep a notes if you wanted to. One of the things that I like to do is to draw a big heart on a sheet of paper, and then I draw some puzzle pieces inside the heart. So if you just draw some big puzzle pieces in there, like maybe four puzzle pieces, then once you've drawn those puzzle pieces, each puzzle piece is a part, like a really interesting character trait of that character. You can do that too. Sometimes that helps you remember things. But before I start to read this book, one of the reasons why I like this book is the dedication page. And that's usually found at the beginning of the book, just right after the title page. So you have the cover, then you have a title page, you have a copyright page, and then there's this dedication page. And the dedication page says, "For my little girl Sophia." It's what's on the inside that counts. And so he wrote this story. Many years ago. Okay, hold on. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking a book about a dragon should start with Once Upon a Time. But this one doesn't. Because frankly, I don't really know what Once Upon a Time means. Now, I was once upon a horse, and that was fun. Also, I was once upon a knight galloping on his horse, but that's another story. So instead, let me start our tale like this. Once upon a farm in a town just west from yours, on a Wednesday many years ago, a rabbit farmer, his wife, and their son Kenneth were preparing to sit down to supper. Now, Kenneth seems a little formal for a boy's name, doesn't it? Well, no kid would say, "Kenneth, can I borrow a pencil?" No, they'd say, "Ken," or, "Kenny, can I borrow a pencil?" And no doubt our Kenny would not even notice when they swiped it from his school desk. For you see, Kenny always had his head buried in a book. And he loved to read all sorts of subjects, science, mysteries, histories, and even fairy tales. In fact, fairy tales and natural history were his two favorite topics. And so far as Kenny was concerned, both held the same merit in the real world. So it is not surprising that he enjoyed going to school. He always asked compelling questions, always, excuse me, always did his homework, complete with footnotes and bibliography, and always had fantastic notions about what he wanted to do when he grew up. Well, one day, he'd want to be an astronaut and meet extraterrestrials from a distant planet. The next, he'd decide on a jungle explorer looking for living dinosaurs, or he'd build a submersible that would go deep in the ocean to find lost underwater cities. Each day, it was something new. "That kid has such an imagination," his English teacher would say. His identification of local flora and fauna is quite impressive, his science teacher would say. Kenny Rabbit? Well, he's kind of out there, his classmates would say. And to a certain degree, they were right. You see, like them, well, Kenny grew up on a farm, and both his mother and father were farmers. And they came from generations of farmers who grew vegetables and raised livestock. So his parents, like most of his neighbors, really didn't have time to read books. They were just, well, too busy tending the farm. You can't harvest corn with a book, his mom would say. No booky book's gonna bring the sheep in at sundown, his dad would say. And regardless of what they thought, though, his parents did their very best to support Kenny in all that he did, right down to listening to his lengthy theories on this or that over dinner. You see, Kenny would tell them, it's going to rain because cold air and warm air collide in the upper atmosphere. This creates thunder and it causes the moisture within the cumulus clouds to fall. I thought it was going to rain because cows are laying down, his dad would reply. And most folks in town would have agreed with Kenny's dad. Hold on a second. What was the name of that town? Oh, I can't believe I've forgotten. It was near water, if I recall correctly. Dunhill? No, that's in the northern province. Meadow Falls? Nah, that's not it either. But it was a stream or a river. Roundbrook? Yes, that's it. The town was sort of roundish in layout, with a brook running through the middle of it. Goodness, I can't believe I'd almost forgotten. Not something a fellow in my position should be allowed. All right, then. So in the little farming town of Round Brook, Kenny lived with his parents, went to school, did his chores on the farm, and filled the rest of his time reading, which is precisely where we find him at the beginning of our tale. And I just want to share something with you. Sometimes when a teacher reads to you and they're trying to get you excited about a book, and even your principal who's reading and talking about books, sometimes they read with lots of excitement, they read with lots of emotion, and they're part of the book, they're part of the characters, and so sometimes they might mess up on a word or two, and that's what good readers do all the time. And if sometimes I might catch the mistake, especially if it's changed completely what I'm reading, and other times I might forget an S or an ED on the end because I'm trying to be the character and in the moment. Sometimes I might even add a word like, well, So maybe there's not a in the book, but in my mind, I can picture that the character's thinking to be able to say the next part. And because I can't see you, I need to convey to you, I need to let you know that that's what's happening in the book. So the next chapter is called That Devil Scourge. And if you don't know what a scourge is, S-C-O-U-R-G-E, take a look. Look it up. And you'll find out what scourge means. Or you can use your fancy reading strategies and listen to the story and see, what do you think scourge means just by listening to how I'm reading the word and what the discussion is around that word. So here we go. Chapter 1, The Devil's Scourge. Kenny's father burst into the kitchen, panting heavily. His ears twitched. It was supper time, and Kenny's mom was making his family's favorite corn chowder. The soup's heavy aroma swirled around as the farmer moved through the room. Pack all your things! We're out of here! We're moving! Kenny's dad hollered. He was scraggly, hairy fellow wearing a wide-brim hat, and he was trying to catch his breath as if he'd been running. Moving? Not now, mister, Kenny's mom replied. The corn's not boiling yet. The broth isn't quite right, and I still have to sew the patches on Kenny's trousers for school tomorrow. Kenny's dad paused, walked to the stove, dipped a finger in the pot, and agreed. It still wasn't quite right. Get your dirty paws out of my chowder. Wash your hands. Have some milk. And tell me what's got you so riled up. She found a little pepper, ground a little pepper into her broth. Unlike Kenny's father, she was soft, round, huggable, and seemed always to be adorned in an apron with a spoon in hand. Kenny's dad did as he was told, and then he stroked his ears and started. Well, this afternoon my eyes saw something I swear they'd never seen. I went to Shepherd's home, the flock up on top of Shepherd's Hill, where they had been grazing all day. As soon as I get up there, I sees the sheep all huddled and quiet on the far side of the hilltop. And I think to myself, well, what in the world has got them so spooked? So I wander over to the other side of the hill, and you know where them rocks and boulders are. Mm-hmm. Here, taste this. Better? Oh, yes, much better. So I, hold on, dear. Kenneth, get out here and set the table. The wooden floorboards creaked as Kenny shuffled into the kitchen, his head buried in his book. He was reading some story about a giant written by a man named Oscar. And without looking up, the small, skinny lad opened the cupboard and grabbed plates to place on the table. Not plates, bowls, Kenneth. I told you earlier we're having corn chowder tonight. Get your head out of the clouds. Put the book down for a minute and just set the table properly. His mom snatched the book out of his paws and set it on the counter. The wooden counter was dinged and scratched and stained from years of use. Pots and pans hung from the ceiling right above where Kenny's mom was cooking. She reached over and opened one of the numerous round windows to allow the cool air, country air, into the kitchen. Don't you want to hear the rest of my story? Kenny's dad whimpered through his milk mustache. Oh, of course, dear. Of course, of course. What did you find in the rocks? His mom said as she tasted the soup. So here I am, climbing up on them big rocks and boulders, and all the while I'm thinking there must be a wolf, a lion, a bear hiding in there. Remember I said I heard those weird whooshing sounds coming from the hill last week? Kenny folded the napkins and placed them around the banged up wooden table. I remember that day, he said, and I thought, hold on, son, hold on, his dad interrupted, waving his hands about. So I make some noises of my own to see if I can spook it off. And that's when I saw it. Kenny stopped setting the table and looked up. Saw what? The gears in the lad's brain began to turn. He realized his father's tale involved some sort of encounter with a carnivorous animal. Kenny figured he could determine just what his dad had seen based on the description. A lion was out of the question. They were too far east for lions. Wolves usually traveled in packs and were rarely seen in these parts. But, you know, bears did prefer rocky outcroppings and caves. Well, first, I smell something burning. Not wood, but, you know, something smoky-like. And then I saw a pair of glowing eyes and then a head as big as this here table peers out from the opening in the side of the hill, and it's covered in horns and scales and fur like a crocodile. You mean an alligator? Kenny corrected him, though he wondered what sort of alligator had horns and fur. Exactly. But have you ever seen a blue alligator with a neck like a turkey and a body like one of them giant lizardy things in your books? You mean dinosaurs, Dad? Those really did exist. I mean, you know, they did. Scientists have even found their bones in old... No, son! This wasn't one of them Brontosaurus rexes! His father looked him in the eyes. It was like one of them flying things that eats pretty maidens and burns castles to the ground. Kenny paused for a moment. It can't be, he said to himself. It couldn't be. He put the last of the silverware in its place on the table. His father just sat there staring at him with his big eyes. Glancing over at his mother, Kenny noticed she had stopped cooking and was looking at them quietly while holding the ladle. He turned back to his father. Dad, are you talking about a dragon? Yes, son, I'm talking about one of them dragons. He started pacing around the kitchen, waving his arms wildly. It's taken up residence on the side of Shepherd's Hill, and we gotta sell the farm and move before that devil, that scourge, comes down and burns everything right to the ground. And that's the end of chapter one and the introduction. I wanted to just go back here real quick. I wanted to just read the description of what this dad, Kenny's dad, is telling him. And I want you to see if you can draw a picture of this. So if you need to get a paper or pencil or some color crayons, I want you to see if you can draw a picture of this. Are you ready? All right. The first part, he's describing this dragon and he says, here's what he saw. He says, well, first I smell something burning, not wood, but something smoky-like. So we know there's some smoke that's around that area there. And then I see a pair of glowing eyes. He doesn't say what color the glowing eyes are, but they must be some eyes that are pretty bright. And then a head as big as this here table. So take a look at the table that you're at, or take a look at the kitchen table that you have. The head of this animal, this dragon, is as big as the kitchen table. And he peers out from the side of the hill, and he's covered in horns, scales, and fur. Horns and scales and fur. Well, he kind of reminds me, that description kind of reminds me of, have you ever read a book called Where the Wild Things Are? He kind of describes this thing that he saw on the hill. Kind of sounds a little bit like one of those characters in that book, Where the Wild Things Are. So Kenny says, well, Kenny's dad calls it a crocodile. And Kenny says, you mean an alligator? And he goes, yeah, exactly. Except he's blue. Which also reminded me of Where the Wild Things Are. With a neck like a turkey. Well, now here's where my picture gets a little bit different, because in Where the Wild Things Are, none of them have a neck like a turkey. But if you think about what a turkey looks like, they've got kind of that long neck and they've got the red wobble that comes down. He says he's got a body like one of them giant lizardy things in your books. And he says, Kenny asks, you mean a dinosaur, Dad? He says, no, not one of those Brontosaurus rexes. He says, one of those that flies around and burns castles and eats pretty maidens. So right away, Kenny's thinking, is he talking about a dragon? A dragon with horns, scales, and fur like a crocodile. And the reason why he says that is because he's got those scales. And I wonder if, because he says he's a crocodile, what his arms are like. Just makes me think. And then he says, yeah, he's got a neck like a turkey. He's got a body like one of them dragons that flies around, burns castles, and eats pretty maidens. He's got a head the size of your kitchen table. And he likes to live up in the hills. There's smoke that's rising up. I wonder where the smoke would be coming from. I bet you can figure it out. I think I know where the smoke might be coming from. And when does smoke come out of dragons? When they're upset, when they're nervous, when they're scared? I don't know. So I'm kind of curious about reading on. So this is just the first part of Kenny and the Dragon. I hope it was interesting enough for you to want to come back and read the next installment of My Principal, Reading and Talking About Books. You can use this to be able to create your own imagination and your own stories as well. But we just got a little taste of what's happening in this book, and I think The next chapter you'll enjoy is called Dishes and Homework, which is something you should be doing as well. Till next time, keep reading.